Welcome to the Missouri Net Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe. With me today, Brent Martin and Bob Pretty. Steve Walsh is out. He is in
St. Paul,
Minneapolis, St. Paul, covering the GOP convention. So in his absence, we will make fun of him unmercifully.
Well, we probably won't have the cell phone going off.
No, we will not. Speaking of, I don't have mine. Okay, good. Brent has been in Denver for a week and enjoying the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, and he has a lot of information to share with us. But before we do that, Bob, do we want to talk about any of our local and state news that you may have been covering while Brent was out?
Well, we're now approaching day 30 of Sarah Steelman not saying anything about Kenny Hulshof.
We can get a little countdown clock like we have downstairs.
Hulshof held hostage. I did have an interesting exchange with Kelly Gunderson, who is Sarah Steelman's mouthpiece. We got a news release the other day when as soon as Governor Palin was announced as the running mate for John McCain, in mm-hmm. which Sarah quickly endorsed Sarah Palin. And so I sent a message over there saying, now that we've gotten this in effect, saying, now that we've gotten this endorsement of Sarah Palin, are we ever going to hear anything from Sarah Steelman about Governor wannabe Hulshof, or right. does a person have to be named Sarah to get her endorsement?
Maybe.
Kelly sent me back a note this morning and said, we don't know of any other Sarahs that are available. So I sent her back a note that said, if he changed his name to Sarah Hulshof, would she break her silence at last? I haven't heard yet.
Well, it is one of those like lingering, I don't know, it's kind of surprising that they haven't come together yet, but it'll work out at some point.
She's in a tough position. We talked about this on a radio show in Columbia that I did last week. This came up, and I said, we saw this 16 years ago or so in the Republican primary for governor, where the other two candidates endorsed the winner after accusing him during the campaign of running the most corrupt campaign in state history or something like that. Bill Webster.
Bill Webster, Roy yeah. Blunt.
And so the question arises.
Wendell Bailey.
Yeah. So okay. the question arises, when you're in a primary election and you attack your opponent and lose and then endorse your opponent, are you lying now or were you lying then? And so the losing candidate finds themselves in that kind of very awkward position. And Sarah might be, taking the most prudent course by remaining silent at this point and hoping it'll all blow over.
I think we've seen that presidentially. We've seen that with Joe Biden and Senator Clinton just ruthlessly attacking Senator Obama in the primaries, and nothing has changed. He's still the same guy he was 6 months ago, but now they're rallying behind him, and obviously Senator Biden is.
So did anybody address that issue at the convention, Brent?
No, I don't think they tried to avoid it. It was an interesting convention on that issue, but John McCain's even using a clip from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
I've seen him, that in one of his ads, which is pretty effective usually.
Yeah, saying something to the effect that,
that Barack Obama's not ready to be commander-in-chief and
exactly.
John McCain is. And so, I mean, those, that's politics with the world of politics. It was on that issue, the Democratic National Convention was interesting for the fact that the Clintons, Hillary and Bill, had two nights, and it's, Barack Obama has won the nomination, and it's, whoever wins it, it's their convention and it is their party, and if they can win the presidency, then they have, they confirm their hold on it. If you don't, like John Kerry, you're not. You're an afterthought. But in that instance, Barack Obama's people reached out to the Clinton people by allowing Hillary to have a speech on Tuesday, and then former President Bill Clinton have a speech on Wednesday. Both of them were well received. Of course, the Clintons are well received within the Democratic Party, but Hillary, by all accounts, gave a forceful, very good speech, which went as far as she needed to endorse Barack Obama, but didn't go any farther. And then Bill Clinton actually may have made the case for Barack Obama better than his wife did. But, I mean, that was kind of the dynamics. It was dynamics that dominated my reporting all week long because Missouri was so split between Clinton and Obama. the Obama won the February presidential primary, but he won by such a slim margin that the delegates were evenly divided, 36-36. We had superdelegates as well. And I'm going to get my math. I should have came in with notes. But at the end, Hillary Clinton released, before the roll call, Hillary Clinton released her delegates. They had a formal meeting at the convention center, heard from some of the Missouri delegates who were pledged to Hillary Clinton about it. It was kind of interesting in some ways. But she released her delegates. Six of the Missouri delegates did not vote for Obama. They felt compelled because of the people who elected them and the people who put them in their position as delegates to cast their vote for Hillary Clinton.
Now, they knew it was a losing gesture.
Well, they said that they would vote first round, and if it came second, it wasn't going to go to second, but if it came to second, they would vote for Obama. But the first vote they were going to make, well, and how they did it, they did the roll call earlier than I've ever seen it done, and they started it, and they got to Illinois. Illinois deferred to New York. Hillary Clinton came on the floor and asked for a vote that he be nominated by acclamation, and that passed. But before that, Missouri did get to vote, and the vote came out 6 votes for Hillary Clinton, 82 for Barack Obama. But the real vote within the delegation, and see all the superdelegates, and they did not have to disclose.
There was so much hay made about the superdelegates and the ultra superdelegates.
Superdelegates aren't that hard to figure out, and this is peculiar or unique to the Democratic Party. Republican Party does not have this, but in the Democratic Party, a superdelegate is say one of the congressmen, a senator. You know, if we had a sitting governor, those are superdelegates. And then you elect so many. We had some superdelegates who were elected as superdelegates. And the superdelegates did not have to disclose who they're voting for. And the Missouri delegation, when the superdelegates were counted, were in favor of Barack Obama, only 46-42. So it's very close. So in some ways, Missouri really reflected the division within the Democratic National Party. I don't think that that's going to make a big difference come November. As far as I do not envision people voted for Hillary Clinton voting for John McCain. I think the big question that Democrats are asking themselves and trying to work through is, will those people who supported Hillary Clinton now actively support Barack Obama? And I think that's what they're trying to get, is get them to switch and actively support Barack Obama.
Here's another angle on that, and it occurred to me during the weekend, Brent. With Sarah Palin's position on the Republican ticket now, and in her first public appearance, she made an overt pitch to the Hillary Clinton people.
The glass ceiling.
Will Hillary Clinton now have to be more involved in the Obama campaign than perhaps she or Obama thought she would be at the convention? Because obviously she's going to have to rally her people to stay on her side of the ticket.
I think that's a big question. I think that's yet to be answered. Because one of the things, and I think this was a good point, Hillary Clinton did endorse Barack Obama. But if you look, or if you listen carefully or read the transcript, she did not go beyond that. She did not really praise Obama. She did not talk about his character much or any of the other things. She basically made the case, and this is what I heard from some, not necessarily on the record, just talking with some of the delegates who are Clinton delegates in Missouri, basically made the case, if you're a good Democrat, it's time now to get behind Barack Obama.
Right.
And I think that's the motivation. But that brings up the question. It's the one I kept exploring. I don't know if I got a real, and it's the one Bob brings up. How active are you going to be in supporting Barack Obama? And there's still some fallout. There are still a lot of Clinton supporters who are not convinced. The presidential, the primaries, like Bob was talking about with Sarah Steelman, Kenny Holsoff, there are lingering.
They haven't come together. And
well, you're not happy with some of the things the other person said about your candidate. And, that comes up. And,
you made an interesting point that it was Barack Obama's convention, and yet he gave 2 whole days to the Clintons. Contrast that with the GOP. Obviously President Clinton, he's going to speak. He's a recent and popular former president. He's going to speak at a DNC convention, and as long as he's able to. Also,
right. Yes,
President
yes,
Carter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Carter didn't speak. He was there.
He showed up the first day, mm-hmm. gave a hand wave, mm-hmm. and everybody gave a standing O.
Mm-hmm.
At the GOP, I don't think there's going to be any presidential addresses.
I think maybe President Bush is going to speak by
satellite.
By satellite. But his poll numbers are real low, and John McCain, you know, if you take away the war in Iraq, John McCain and George Bush do not agree on very many things.
No, that's the irony of it. Is distancing himself from someone that he doesn't really agree with anyway.
I remember in the 1976 Republican convention mm-hmm. in Kansas City. This was after Richard Nixon had resigned, remember? And I remember one of the people at the Kansas City convention talked about the Nixon shadow that hung over that Republican convention. And they went to the old poem, "The Man Who Wasn't There." Yesterday upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away. Well, to some degree, maybe there are some Republicans in Minneapolis-St. Paul who look upon George Bush as in that same situation. I heard one of the commentators on one of the talk shows this morning say that really the hurricane has done the Republicans a great favor by eliminating the need for George Bush and Dick Cheney to actually make a speech on the opening night, which is what they were going to do last night. So maybe the hurricane, it was in a column I read this morning in the paper, the hurricane did blow an ill wind, but it did do some good, they said, as far as the Republican convention is concerned.
And very little damage from that hurricane, as far as watching it over the weekend.
Plenty of damage, but much less than they were afraid was going to happen.
Right, yeah. Right. It continued to weaken, and everyone evacuated and followed the rules.
And we've got a lot of people down there. Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday, normally on holidays, we come in and we work kind of a relaxed shift here at the Missouri Net doing our newscast because there's not a whole lot going on. And yesterday, I walked in, and all of a sudden, I had 1,300 National Guardsmen going to the south. I had Water Patrolmen going to the south. I had Conservation Department people going south. And we all of a sudden had to start scrounging up a whole bunch of news on a holiday. So yesterday morning was a pretty busy time for us.
Well, Missouri has a lot of support people and rescue, fire and rescue, a lot of people that we constantly send all over the place.
So. Well, and one big thing is all of the states have a mutual aid agreement.
Uh-huh.
When something major happens like this, all of the states will send people in. We will get the same benefit if the New Madrid Fault ever decides it's going to really have a fit someday.
Right.
That's when we'll get the payback from all of that.
Yeah.
But until then, we continue to send our people down there for that. We continue to send firefighters out west to California and Montana and so on for forest fires.
And so we'd rather it be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad trade-off. No. We get to avoid the damaging Mother Nature. So,
one last thing on the conventions. So we get past this week, and we've got the DNC and the RNC have had their conventions. I think people are starting to pay attention to politics. I think politics will be in full swing, and we'll be out there trying to answer all the questions that we brought up during this.
It is right about the moment that everyone really starts mm-hmm. to pay attention. So there's junkies that are in it for 2 years, 3 years, watching and paying attention to
every
to
little
everything.
Poll, every little movement, every little thing.
For the most part, most of America starts
tuning in.
Starts to tune in now.
We'll be inside 60 days until mm-hmm. election day.
Yeah, yep.
So that's when people start to really sharpen their focus.
And it's really 2 months to close the deal. We've got basically two.
We've got a lot going on,
and an unknown and a senior senator. So it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. Guys, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. You've been listening to the Missouri Net Press Pass. For Bob Priddy and Brent Martin, I'm Darren Jobe. Have a great day.